This is Allison Janney.
This is Matt Ballmer.
This is Donna Murphy.
This is Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
I'm Octavia Spencer.
This is Ben Platt, and you're listening to Little Known Facts Podcast with my favorite person on the planet, Alana Levine. A-OK.
Welcome to Little Known Facts, a podcast where you will hear unfiltered, raw, honest, and uniquely funny interviews with artists you love as they talk about the art they love to make. I'm your host, Alana Levine. If you know me, you know how obsessed I am with live performance. To me, nothing replaces being in a theater and the lights going down and the orchestra starts to play and that first moment of magic. And I know the way I feel about theater, some people feel about sports or opera or dance or comedy or food. And what if there was a place that you could go and find out which live events are going on near you that night? And then for a discount price, you can get off your couch, put down that clicker, and experience the magic that is live performance. Well, there is a place, goldstar.com. You just go to that website, you type in your city, and every amazing live event will be listed at discount prices. Theater, dance, comedy, film, food, concerts, sports. No more staying home. You are going to go out and build memories and experiences that expand your mind and heart through live performance with GoldStar.com. GoldStar is in 26 cities around the country with over 8 million members already signed up to find out what event is going on near you. So go to GoldStar.com. Get out of your house and build memories that are magic for you and your family. Expand your mind, expand your hearts. Go see live performance by using goldstar.com. Tell them Alana sent you.
Hey, I heard you need an inspiration. He's Alana and friends with some revelations. Little known fact of the day. Every little thing's gonna be A-OK.
Hey everyone, new episodes of Little Known Facts drop every Monday and you can find them on your favorite podcast provider. Also, if you go to the website, littleknownfactspodcast.com, you'll find behind the scenes photos, videos, and interviews and lots more on the gallery page. And if you are loving these intimate, candid conversations with all the artists who come on the show, please head over to the contributions page. I depend on these donations to continue to bring you these interviews every week. So if you love the show, please donate. Little known fact about my guest today, her sweet little dog Maddie is named for the actress Madeline Kahn. Welcome, Kristen Chen.
A-OK. A-OK.
Hey, everyone. My guest today is Emmy and Tony Award-winning actress and singer Kristen Chenoweth. Her talent as an artist includes roles in films, television, and stage. She has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and was inducted into the Hollywood Bowl Hall of Fame. She has 3 solo albums and multiple Broadway soundtracks to her name. Her list of credits are long, but some highlights include on Broadway, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, Wicked, Promises, Promises, and On the 20th Century. Her TV series and specials include roles on The West Wing, Pushing Daisies, Glee, The Music Man, Annie, The Good Wife, and The Muppets as Kristen Chenoweth. By the way, in my house, the benchmark for fame, my 9-year-old will say to me, is she famous enough like to be on The Muppets? That's all, like, if, like, it's not the Walk of Fame, it's not an award, it's, could she be herself on The Muppets? And I said, yes, Kristen Chenoweth is Kristen Chenoweth on The Muppets. He's like, she's done.
And this is why you've raised him well.
I've raised him well. Her films include Hard Sell, The Boy Next Door, The Opposite of Sex, Descendants, RV, The Peanuts Movie, Rio 2, You Again, Deck the Trails, and The Pink Panther. She has her own line of jewelry, which is sold on HSN. She has hosted the Tony Awards. She has a best-selling autobiography called A Little Bit Wicked. She is devoted to the Broken Arrow Performing Arts Center in her home state of Oklahoma, along with many other charities. She has performed at Carnegie Hall and with symphony orchestras all over the globe. Welcome, Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, my darling.
So I have a question for you. It's okay. A really important one.
Okay, I'm listening.
So is it true that the way to get to Carnegie Hall is practice, practice, practice?
I'm so proud of you right now. Yes. By the way, I still practice.
Okay, because that's an expression that people use.
And I still think it's hilarious. It's like a singer's joke, like, oh, on a scale of 1 to 10, he's a tenor. It's one of those jokes, but it always makes, look, you're laughing.
No, the problem with me is I've been trying to, like, think, how do I ask her that question and not laugh? Because I am notorious for laughing hardest at my own jokes. That's the thing that I'm best at.
This I know.
To the point where, like, people are like, I don't even understand what she's saying. Because you never even got to the end.
That's why we love you. Don't ever change.
I won't ever change. Well, so that was it. I just wanted to know that. And I know that it was a lot to come in to answer that, but that was the big one.
I mean, if you want to make your Carnegie Hall debut,
yeah,
you're going to need to what?
You tell us.
Practice, practice, practice.
Well, speaking of Carnegie Hall debuts, I imagine when you were a little girl in Oklahoma, what is it, 24 years now?
Yeah, it's that.
It's that. Like, we all know Kristen Chenoweth is the person who has the voice that can do things that really no other human on the planet has ever done before. So that's what we know. But when did you know?
I probably learned at about age 7. I was, as you know, I grew up in the church, and that was my first time to ever get a solo. I showed up for a choir audition for adults. And I told my mom to drop me off that there was a solo audition. Unbeknownst to me, it was for just the adult choir. But I did get it, and I did sing a song that went, I'm only 4'11", but I'm going to heaven, and it makes me feel 10 feet tall. Obviously, if I'd known that's exactly how tall I was going to grow, I might have sung a different song.
I'm 7'11", and I'm going to heaven. I sang that in shul.
Oy vey. Ivana,
I know.
Talking to you is like just talking to my sister. But anyway, that's when I first knew. When I got that solo in church, I was like, I think I'm supposed to be a singer. And then it occurred to me over time that really what I was an actor,
right,
who loved to sing and dance. You know, we didn't have shows come through town, and we didn't have that. So for me, it was PBS. And I remember the first concert I saw was just a choir, I think the Mormon Tabernacle Choir at Carnegie Hall. And they showed it on PBS in Oklahoma, and I went, I want to sing there one day. So that's what happened. I mean, that's...
So then you went to Utah, and you married
Joseph Smith.
I loved Big Love. Did you watch that show?
I can't believe you're saying that. I think it's one of the best shows of all time. I never missed an episode.
There was this really wonderful way that they made it very romantic.
I know.
And even the compound, I was like, you know what? I think that prairie dress is becoming.
Lana, we have the same brain.
That seems amazing
to
me.
Is this your way of asking me to marry you and your husband?
It is my not-so-subtle way. This entire pie, it's all a ruse.
I'm ready.
This is what it was for.
I will.
I will. I do. Mazel tov.
Clack.
Clack. That would be amazing. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, my daughter has a couple of girlfriends who are also super petite, and they call themselves the Littles. There's three of them. Each one of them are the most lovely girls. At some point, you realize that your friends were growing and other people were growing and you were not. And I want to know if you can talk about that.
Such a great question, because we all have our thing that we've been teased about, right? Obviously, I don't sound like Demi Moore, and I'm petite. So clothing... And you know I go to the Gap Kids. You were with me many times when I would go and get a jacket at Gap Kids. I think it's important especially for your younger listenership, to understand that the things that are different about you really do set you apart. Little would I know that many years later in my adult acting life, I would play a 5-year-old, and that my size would probably work for me. Today I was at a event, and the counter is like up to my chin. So yeah, I still am like, oh,
you need to have your people vet that for you.
It was always something that I have obviously been aware of because others have pointed it out to me.
Right.
I was bold enough to do the Miss America pageant system. Again, realizing when I'm standing up against girls that I'm petite, not when I'm by myself. And I think the main lesson that I learn and keep remembering is compete with yourself. I mean, I'm not going to grow.
No. No, you're not. But you have tremendous amount of confidence, and I'm wondering when that grew.
I feel so lucky to have had a mom that instilled in me self-esteem, which I think is the biggest gift you can give your child.
Do you remember things she said when you were growing up? I mean, I know that religion was a big part of your lives, and that is a very stabilizing force for people to have a strong faith. I envy people who have that, but what were things or ways in which she gave that to you?
Oh, my gosh. Just to be really honest, I don't really talk about it, but my dad's company went through a very hard time, and we went from having pretty solid, secure life to all of a sudden not. When you're younger, to understand that you're not going to the fancy store anymore, I was like, so lucky and blessed that I wasn't aware enough. It was when we lost things that I went, oh no. And she would go, it doesn't matter if you go to the Five and Dime store or you go, in our town, it was Dillard's, the nice store.
She's like, because honey, they're not going to have clothes for you in either place.
We're going to the child store anyways, honey. We're going to Petticoats and Britches, but which was our child store. But she said, literally, it doesn't matter where you, if it's how you feel within. Beauty is as beauty does, she would always say. So she would say, if you feel good about yourself and feel happy, that's what comes across. And I was always like, yeah, well, I'm not. Like, walk tall. You might be the shortest one, but walk tall. You don't, who cares? Like, think about it, Kristen. I mean, she was that voice.
Right.
Listen, I have a lot of flaws, so many. I mean, that's another show, but I am a very grateful person for things. And I think that's because of my parents.
You know, I was thinking when you were talking about being small, I know that you were close to Prince.
Yeah.
And the only Prince story that I have, which is pretty humorous, is I was on a press junket with Cynthia Nixon, and I had the good fortune, because her wife Christine could not go to London with her for the sex and a premiere of the movie.
Oh, fun.
It was so much fun. And plus, everyone thought I was Mrs. Nixon. It was amazing. And I wanted it to be true. But Christine is the most amazing woman in the world, and that dance card is full.
It's full.
But it was fun. It was fun to play a role. And we were joined by all these people that were involved in the movie, and her publicist at the time had also been Selma Hayek's publicist. Maybe she still is.
Okay.
And she told me that Selma Hayek has a ranch somewhere, and there's a little guest house. And she came to breakfast one morning, and she had found a little sweater, like a little Gap Kid sweater, in the closet of the guest house. And she said, Selma, who was staying here? There's this adorable little sweater. And she said, it's Princess.
What? You're kidding me.
It was Princess. Because he was quite petite as well.
Petite. Let me put it to you this way. I knew him for a time, and he was, over the years, very encouraging to me. Mm. And, you know, even though he was a friend that I didn't see.
So how did you even connect with
Prince?
It's Prince's.
I mean, that's probably, okay, so I'm 4'11". He was probably 5'2". Mm-hmm. And he also loved a heel, which I admired, and they lit up too. I remember that the heels lit up when he walked, which I wanted really bad. But my then manager called me and said, Prince would like to meet you, you know, invite you to dinner. So I think I'm going there thinking I'm having dinner with a group, and it's just me and him, and all he wanted to do was talk about music.
At his home?
Yes.
So you're like, oh, okay.
Yes.
And you're writing down 4:33. Yeah. Okay.
That's so exactly. And I drove up, and there was this huge gate with the symbol of Prince when he was not Prince.
Oh, the Ankh. Yes.
On the door.
Formerly known as Prince.
That's right. Yes. And then there was a big, it was like Little Orphan Annie's mansion. And there was a big staircase with a purple rug. And there was somebody waiting for me to greet me and take me into the library. And
who, like a butler? Like
yes.
Formal?
Yes.
Okay.
And
Ms. Chenoweth.
And it was so, I'm like, I think I was in a, I remember being in a Gap jacket. I was like, oh, I should have dressed up.
Yeah, you should have.
He took me, you know I should have. And took me to the library. And I wasn't snooping, but it's hard not to.
With Colonel Mustard and a candlestick. Got it.
Exactly. So I'm looking around, and I look in, and I see that he has a Bible, and he has some really other cool books. And I thought, and he's definitely a spiritual person, and of course we got on great. And
most of us have not been in that situation, although we have been in libraries of people we don't know, maybe waiting for them to come down. But what's the very first moment? Like, this is Prince. Do you know what to call him even?
Okay.
How does he introduce himself?
Okay, Prince.
Okay.
So there's this long hallway, and it was marble, and I heard And I got nervouser and nervouser and nervouser, and it took forever. It was the longest clicking heels coming down a hallway I'd ever heard. I thought it would never. And he comes in, and he's looking fantastically hot, just how he was.
He's beautiful.
He was, and he had his hair, and he had on a white silk suit. And he said, "Hi, Kristen. I'm so glad you came." And I went, I don't know what to say to you right now. I think I said, "Do I call you Prince? What do I?" And he goes, "You call me Prince, but just relax. I just want to tell you how much you've inspired me." I remember when we had salmon, which I don't eat fish, you know, and I just remember hearing my mom's voice go, "You choke that salmon down, eat it."
You tough love.
Exactly.
You mentioned the tough love, mothers and daughters. You eat that salmon.
That's exactly what
I'm going to beat you.
I'm going to get you with that salmon. And I choked it down, Alana, with my water. And then he goes, "I want to show you something. I just love to watch." And took me down to his movie room, and he played Candide, this opera I did for PBS. And he played the aria I sang. And I said, no, we don't have to watch this. He goes, "No, I think it's important when someone inspires you that you admire and you look at their skill. I want you to know that this is inspiring to me." And I mean, really?
So you're watching your performance in the opera with him?
With Prince. I said, right. Is Prince showing me?
What's happening right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I was like, no. And then he said, "You want to see my guitars?" And guitars. And I said,
"Whoa!"
I said, "Yes,
I do."
I said,
"Well,
yes.
Thank you." Who are you all of a sudden?
I don't know. All of a sudden, I've become
you're Loretta Lynn.
I've become Christy Dawn. Is what happened.
You were.
Which you know
go
her.
Right back. Yes.
So we go down. I'm glad you asked me this.
Yes.
So we go down. And we see all these guitars in this other room. I mean, probably 30 on stands. And he said, "Do you want to play one?" I said, "Yeah, I'm terrible." But I picked up he goes, "Pick up that white one." And I picked it up. It had a pretty long grip. He goes, "Flip it over." And I flipped it over and it was all scratched. I said, "What happened?" He goes, "That was Elvis's belt."
Okay.
I'm like, if I had a dog.
We're out.
It's very hard not to be intimidated.
Yeah.
And I said, "I can't believe you have his guitar." And he goes, "Oh, I loved him. But I'm glad you said you loved him, because what an incredible person and musician. And I know there's all this cloud of things around his death, but I choose to really look at the way he lived."
And so you stayed friends.
Yeah. Every once in a while, he would say, "I saw you on this and you're great." And another time he invited me over after the Emmys one night, and he said, "Invite whoever you want." And he did a 3-hour concert.
Just for you and your friends.
Yeah. And I was like asking people at the Emmys, "I know I don't really know you, but do you want to come to Prince's?"
"I have a free ticket to his living room."
Yeah, and
do you
like,
want to come?
Yes. And
that
he played for
incredible.
3 hours.
Did you ever do this joke? "Hey, Prince, you know how to get to Carnegie Hall?" Did you?
No, but you know he would have loved it because he had a really good sense of humor. Dang it, why didn't I?
So Christy Dawn must appear inside you, not just when you're eating salmon, although God bless you for not, like, your tongue didn't swell up and you were able to get through the night
choked
and
down.
Do that. But your whole life at this point must just feel like balancing. There's Kristen Chenoweth and there's Christy Dawn. And how do you keep both of these people who are living inside you? How are you doing this?
Kristen Chenoweth obviously is my name, but my real name is Christy Dawn, and obviously, you know, I have a great family. One of the things I'm most challenged by still is finding alone time and time to listen and hear what we need to hear. Because, you know, when you're quiet is when you can receive things,
that
right?
That scares me, though.
Because then we're left with our thoughts.
I like to keep it really loud and busy.
But Alana, that's...
No, I know. I'm working on it.
Okay, so me too.
Okay.
Also, I think over the years, too, I've just been like, you know what? I've become more and more comfortable. And I think this comes with age and therapy.
Yeah, well, you're 24.
Yeah, of course. Now I'm 25. I've just been like, I care about, obviously, I want my fans and people like that to be happy and love what I do. That matters to me. But I care about mostly what my closest friends and my family think of me. And I want them to be proud.
Right.
So that's kind of what I lay. I mean, how many texts from me in the middle of the night have you gotten? There's very few people, as we know. We have a small circle of people that we really, really trust. And I think that's with anybody, celebrity or not celebrity. I think that's just life.
Right.
And especially with internet and how public things are, you don't mind hearing the problems.
No.
And that means probably more to me than you'll ever. But you are always that way. I think we always had that with each other when we were in rehearsals for Charlie Brown. I didn't know it then how rare that was, and I'm thankful every day for us.
Yeah.
Hashtag us.
Yeah. There wasn't a hashtag when I first met you. There were hash browns, Dunkin' Donuts, which I love.
And I think we know that.
Well, you have actually become someone that I look to as a social media guru. When I look at your Twitter, I feel like you're talking to me, and it's just so fun and honest. Do you enjoy that?
Do you remember when Twitter first came out, and were you like, yeah, right, that's going to catch on?
Yeah.
I was one of those. And then I started to understand and became aware of it more, and my a team, mm-hmm. as we call them, mm-hmm. goes, you really need to let people know. And I said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let them know about things I like to, you know, have for breakfast or some new place I went and got a small person's top.
They were like, great, no.
That's exactly what they did. They're like, can't you talk about your, like, next project? I'm like, no, I want to talk about Waffle House.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
So for me, is what keeps it fun is to be like, yes, I have this concert. And by the way, I just had the best iced tea at coffee bean.
It was freaking delicious.
Exactly.
Is it a way to come down after a performance?
Yes.
Is it like a nice distraction?
It is. I get in bed. I have a routine. It's a little sad.
All right. What's your routine?
If it's live performance, theater or concert, I will say hello to you and hug you and take pictures with my babies. And then I will go home. I will take a bath, wash my face, brush my teeth, get my water with crystal light in it, get in bed.
Is there a flavor? Grape. Okay. Sorry.
Grape.
Okay.
Hello. And crystal light, I hope you're listening.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I get in bed and then I start the Bravo. I still like Nurse Jackie. I'll watch mm-hmm. the episodes I've seen. So I'll do that. Then I'll turn my TV off and then I'll do some tweeting. I'll just get on and see what people are talking about. Mm-hmm. P.S. I'm horribly read. I remember doing a play with Nora Ephron, and she said, Kristen, you need to read the paper every day.
Really?
And I'm terrible at it, Alana.
Yeah.
Because now we have social media.
Do you know what I love? I love the guy on New York One who actually reads the newspaper to you, Pat Kiernan.
Yeah, I love him.
I was like, this is amazing. I'm literally like, I'm going to be the smartest person all day.
Don't you feel
and
smarter?
Also, he's so adorable, and he just sits there. He's like, in Afghanistan. And then also, like, in Queens. Like, he covers regional, local, global. And I'm literally, like...
And then Lady Gaga.
Literally. And then when I drop off, you know, at school, 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, my God, you guys. Can you believe the crisis?
I know you remember. I know that if it were me you were talking to, I'd be like... You just saw that on New York One, didn't you? And be like, yes, busted.
Yes. My favorite thing, just when I think about Charlie Brown. You guys, Kristen Chenoweth. I want you all to take this in. Imagine you, because you are, and suddenly you find yourself, like, you're in a Broadway musical, which is hilarious, and you can't read music, and you're being thrown new, it's like, imagine being, you know, thrown new pages every day of musical notes, and you're looking at them going, uh-huh, no problem. And I would tape it, and I'd go home and listen and listen and listen and listen, and I'd still go back and do the same thing I'd done the day before.
By the way, many quote-unquote singers do that, so don't worry about it.
And every night before the show, we would go down to the rehearsal piano, and Kristen Chenoweth, who really might have had her own things to do at that time, would sit and go through the scales with me and warm me up and just talk me through how to do my songs. And it is, to this day, one of the most generous moments in my life to have had that with you.
I'm kidding.
It was incredible. But also, the thing that happened during that show is Kristen, who was obviously a very talented person and had been discovered by the people involved in Charlie Brown, was discovered by the world. And when the show first happened, the way it works in Broadway land is there's dressing rooms on every floor. And so the fancy pants stars get the first floor dressing rooms, and then it goes like A, B, C, D. So if you're in that show, Anthony Rapp, you know, if you've already won a Tony, you're on the first floor. And then if you have really big parts and are the male lead and female lead who are not Tony winners, you're on the second floor. And then if you are Kristen, who's adorable, and they're going to throw in Sally to this version, you're on, I don't know, for some reason you're on the seventh floor.
Exactly.
Like, they put wardrobe and all kinds of things between you and...
You're right!
And all I remember is, you know, the reviews happen. Literally, people would have to stop in my dressing room just to rest. The royalty that would just... I would just say, would you want to sit for a moment? May I offer you a glass of water? Because...
I remember sometimes you would bring them up and you were like, we made it.
You're almost there. Just 10 more stories. And I'm talking like Mike Nichols and George Clooney. It was a who's who of theater, entertainment, political, the luminaries that would just go by my door, that I stood there with lemonade and cookies just to offer refreshment to them on their journey. Gold bars, which are very heavy, being brought up. And what a testament to how much I loved you.
Yeah.
Truly, that I did not for one second feel like, wait a minute.
No, and I'm just going to, I just have to interject. This is really important to say, especially talking to you, and we've just become so close over all these years. I mean, it started instantaneously with you, and I feel like, you know how I said earlier that sometimes you don't understand how lucky you are in the moment? Like, sometimes you go, oh, I was given a great part at the right time, and it fit me like a glove. And the people that surrounded that, that I was in it with, you included, Anthony, Stanley, BD.
Roger.
Roger, of course. I never felt that. And I have come to understand what a blessing.
Well, let's move on because that was amazing. And it was an amazing moment. And
I love you.
It lives.
I love you
so much. And it has kind of snowballed from that. A lot of things happened to you. And what is it to have what everybody dreams of, which is fame for the thing that you love?
Well, I never really wanted to be famous. I just wanted to be good, right?
I wanted to get a job.
I wanted to get a job.
And a paycheck.
Exactly. And I wanted to be well respected. And that's why I worked so hard on my voice. And you know the rest. But I think it's that, and I certainly am not complaining. I'm very lucky and I love my life. But it has come with sacrifice. You know my heart. So you know that I'm getting better about the sensitivity, but with the good comes the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I could probably be in the corner in a straight jacket, like holding myself.
Well, you are. Listeners, I just want you to know, she's wearing a straight jacket with a lovely accent of a scarf.
It's pink with black coconuts.
Yes.
And what I've come to understand is that saying of you can't please all the people all the time. I'm going to do things that they wouldn't like. I'm going to make choices in my acting, voice, roles I choose that people wonder about. It's all for me, though, about how I can continue to get better. I do a lot of mentoring and teaching, and I have a lot of kids asking me now, how do I become famous? And I go, well, if you want to become famous, that's different than what I do. Because I didn't enter into it just wanting that. I wanted to be good. I want young people to really understand that if you want to have longevity, I would like to look at like Barbara Cook or Julie Andrews or Liza, Sally Field, Dolly Parton, people that I admire, and I
but
go,
how heady. You are one of those people. Do you understand that?
No.
Well,
don't.
Maybe you can understand that. Maybe you can't understand
when
that.
When I meet young people who tell me, I want to do what you do, that's the time I go, oh, right. And it fills me in such a way. And, you know, I used to think, oh, is that selfish? Oh, is that narcissism?
Mm-hmm.
I just want people to realize their dream is what really it is. Because I had one. You had one. We're both doing our lives. It's been an interesting journey.
So and the what's balance. The sacrifice?
I have many times felt, and this is also, I'm speaking very honestly.
Yes.
It has come to my attention with many, you know, boyfriends in my life. Kristen, you know, I'm here. Like, I'm here to help you. I'm here. Really good guys, too. Of course, we all have our share of turkeys, right? But I wasn't there. I was focused on something else. Now, I never really felt the need, and maybe it's because I was adopted myself, as you know, to have a child. I thought if I'll either have one or I'll adopt
right.
one. To me, it's the same.
The question is, do you do it in a relationship or as a single mom?
That's exactly right. So that's been something of late I think about a lot. And what I've come to the conclusion is this. You've given up a lot for your art. I'm not sorry. I'm not sad. Dolly Parton sings a great song called Sacrifice, and it's about Christmas vacations. I mean, think about it. I'm a singer, so when are my jobs going to come? I've missed funerals. I've missed weddings. I've missed big gigs so that I can be at funerals and weddings. So
right.
it's a balance. I still work at it. And it's not having children was, and not having a marriage was something I think in my 30s I really chose. It wasn't until I hit 42. It was like, oh, should I be doing this? So now what I've decided is if it comes along and I enhance his life or he enhances mine, I think I'm ready now. I've just been a little bit late on that. And if a child were to come in my life, at this point I would see him or her as a blessing and probably be something that I really sought out. But I look at your life too and I go, wow, she has had a career and a family.
Right.
Lucky. It's always looking at the person on the other side of the fence, right?
Do you think had you had all of the exact same things happen, but you were a man?
100%.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that.
I think about that. I think it's like hard. In reverse.
It's hard to be the woman.
Mm-hmm. And have this kind of success.
Yes. I'm also, as you know, strong-willed. I have strong opinions. But I'm a good girlfriend, I think. But I think it's hard for a guy.
I heard that you are incredible in bed.
I'm so glad you finally got it out there. Because I don't think people think that ever occurs.
They are wrong. You're amazing. And I think I've kissed you once or twice.
I believe I told you once, if I were a lesbian.
Uh-huh. You would want to be Mrs. Alana Levine.
That's correct. By the way, you haven't said that back, so now I'm going to be big obsessing about it.
I invited you earlier into the Mormon marriage bed, so I don't think I could be any clearer. What's so funny is Chenoweth, I don't know why I thought you were Jewish before I knew you. There was something about like with Chenoweth.
Maybe you thought it was Chenoweth's.
Maybe. Chenoweth, it probably did.
I think I might part meet.
I think I had a doctor named Dr. Chenoweth once. Wait, what was that story about you at Oklahoma City College or something, some event?
It was in Oklahoma. I was at OCU, vocal student. They were honoring some of the Olympians, and it was the Oklahoma Hall of Fame. And they asked me to sing. And we had we have a big civic center and many different banquet rooms, believe it or not, in our town. I'm going up there, and I'm nervous because I want to represent OCU well. And I went into the banquet room, and I said, I'm Kristen. I'm in table 12. And they took me right to the table, and I was sitting around with a bunch of people. And there was couples, and they were talking about, like, well, I did the angioplasty, the new angioplasty thing, and they were talking political jargon. I go, didn't want to be like the bump on the log, so I wanted to participate in the conversation. I didn't want to be, like, mute. So I said, oh, my grandpa just had angioplasty. And they're like, great. Anyway, and they keep talking, then I'd be like, oh, right, yes, H2O is water. Like, I was trying to, you know, somehow be included. And the guy goes,
H2O is water. That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I was trying to include myself so I wouldn't seem illiterate. And finally the guy goes, now, how are you related into this evening? And I go, well, I'm singing for all the Olympians. And there was just confusion. And they're like, oh. And I go, how are you guys related? And they're like, this is the Oklahoma Heart Association dinner. By the way, we were on dessert. This was before cell phones, people. So people were running around the Civic Center looking for me. I was at the wrong. We were at dessert, Alana.
You could have found a husband.
If I was paying attention, I was too nervous about what key Oklahoma was going to be sung in.
What were you going to sing?
Oklahoma.
There's a... That Oklahoma?
Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Is that what you mean?
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. I'm so
There's
proud of you.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
Oh, Alana.
Mm-hmm. What is next?
I will be doing one of the musicals on NBC that, you know, that they've become so well known for, making them, doing them live, and it's Hairspray. And I'll be playing Velma Von Tussle, which I'm Miss Baltimore Krabs. I don't know.
You
finally,
are
I get to be a pageant queen.
Perfect for that part. So, an audition story from when you still auditioned, because I can't imagine you've done that in a long time.
Of course I have. I audition, and it's important for listeners to know that I audition.
I do
for certain projects, you bet, especially if someone doesn't see me as in a certain
That's
way.
Fair.
I will definitely go and audition. I'd rather people not be worried that, oh, we cast her and she really can't do it.
Right.
I have no problem with reading. I like it. Okay. So before Charlie Brown, I was doing the Fantastics off-Broadway for maybe $118 a week. Jerry Zaks was directing a musical review on Broadway called Smokey Joe's Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And I got an appointment, which seemed crazy.
Exciting.
Yeah.
That's a big
deal. Yeah, it was Lieber and Stoller, and they're like, do you know any Lieber and Stoller? And, you know, remember I had spent all those years learning classical music. I'm like, not really. But I do recall Great Balls of Fire. So I think I'll just do Great Balls of Fire. So I go in, and I'm like, I've got my Lieber and Stoller book, which I bought at Capitol Music, which with money I didn't have, but you had to buy the whole book. So I go in, Jerry Zaks is there, and I go, I'm Kristen Chenoweth, I will sing Great Balls of Fire. And I started out really good until and I'll just imitate it for you. You do the math.
I'll be Jerry Zaks and you reenact your audition.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much loving drives a man insane. You broke my will. Oh, what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I went into, like, Maria Callas' world, and it scared me. And he looked at me, and I said, can I have a do-over?
You should have pretended it didn't have what?
I think I might have.
That didn't happen.
I'm thinking, because would you like to, exactly, would you like to do it again? I did it again.
Right.
He then said, I want you to come back because you're really right for it, but can you do a different song? I did come back, and I think I did Love Me Tender, and I was like, love me tender, love me true. I mean, total legit, like, not rock and roll. I never did get it. I never understood what he was trying. He was like, rock and roll. Now looking back, of course, I say to him, are you still upset for me? Were you embarrassed? He goes, it was the cutest thing. I just sang opera.
I remember he was one of the people that I gave cookies and lemonade to. So he went up past my dressing room. I think I wiped his brow. I said, you don't want to go up there sweaty. I powder them all down. I'm sorry, Steven Spielberg. You don't want to go meet Kristen like that. I'm so sorry. Barbara.
Oh, my God.
Barbara.
That makes me laugh.
Barbara, that is not fix your lipstick. There's a little on your teeth.
You're making me laugh.
No,
so hard.
That's literally what it was like. Are you looking for Kristen? No, absolutely. They'd be like, you were wonderful. I was like, thank you. Hey, have you heard of the show Hamilton?
I am not giving up my shot. Are you kidding? All I do before
look
I go
around,
on stage.
Look around.
Oh, my gosh, we should do it.
Let's do it.
Look around. You take the harmony. Never mind. I love it.
I remember, speaking of amazing musicals, the night I came to see Wicked, beforehand, you said that you were going to sing a song, which I didn't know of yet because I didn't even have the soundtrack yet, for good. And you said, Alana, when you hear that song, I'm thinking of you. And I remember sitting there while you were singing it and tears rolling down my face. I know this is a crazy ask, but would you sing it, a little bit of it now?
Because it's you, and you represent a lot of what being a true friend and sister, fellow actor are to me.
You're going to sing for good.
Okay, hang on.
All right, don't cough. She's singing for good on my podcast right now. I love you so much, and I thank you for doing this.
I love you, too. Thank you for having me, and I'm very proud of you. Let's see. How does it begin? I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most to grow if we let them, and we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew you.
Thank you, Kristen.
I love you.
See you soon.
Okay.
Clouds can make the wind blow.
Hey, I'm Alana Levine. Thank you for listening. Please don't forget to rate and review our show in the iTunes show page. Little Known Facts is recorded at the Hangar Studios in New York City.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.